Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Told you we wanted to talk Redskins, the big one today, being that they got to 3-2, and now they're getting set for a Monday night showdown with the Eagles. If they can win, they'll pull to within a half game in the NFC East. Craig Hoffman is our Redskins beat reporter. He's been rewatching the game today. Wanted to get him on the line to address some of the burning questions surrounding the team. Let's start with this kicker news. Dustin Hopkins out, according to NFL Network. What do we know about this? This is more severe an injury, it sounds like, than what Jay Gruden told you guys yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely concerning. So it's a rotator muscle in your hip, and obviously your hip, when you swing your leg through to kick a football, is fairly important. It rotates, so that muscle becomes really important. Hopkins finished the game, but if he hurt it on that last kick, then this is where we are. If he's out, he's out. I think it is a week-to-week thing. I think it is something where we'll know a little bit more as the week goes how he's feeling, but they were definitely going to work out some kickers. And I think it's also interesting of what they do with Hopkins, right? Because are you going to keep Dustin on the roster? Do you IR him? Who knows what they do with him? But I would think they don't cut him. So they've got a decision to make in terms of signing someone and how they make room for him on the roster as well.
What about some of the other spots? Basically, if you play secondary for the Redskins, you've been hurt within the last 3 weeks. What's the latest there? What do we know with some of these guys?
Not a whole lot yet in terms of anything significant for Breland and Norman. Those are obviously the most important guys. Stephen McClure came out of that game fine. Monte Nicholson came out of that game fine. Both of those guys are banged up, but they're okay. As for Breland, we'll know more on Thursday, really. If he's out there and is able to run around a little bit, I think that gives you a little bit of hope that he can go. But I guess he's probably out at least another week because that's typically the low end for MCLs. And then for Norman, he's going to ramp up on Thursday. I think the extra day is obviously good because every day for him right now matters. But it's going to get to the point where can he run at full speed and cut and do all of the athletic movements that are required of him without having any kind of pain in his ribs. And then it's a matter of his willingness, which, knowing Josh, he would be willing to take extra pain and take any risk with him getting hit in the ribs. I mean, it's a spot as a corner, like, you're going to get hit there. You're going to come down and make a tackle, and your ribs are going to take contact. So I think it's going to be, I think, somewhat like Trent Williams this week, where he's looking at the situation and going, I've got to play because Breland's not, and he's going to try to get out there. But I do know the Redskins want to be careful with him because they don't want him to re-break the rib and then be out for, say, the entire season, or put his lung at risk or something like that. So they're going to be careful with Norman, as they should be, but they might have to hold him back because he's going to want to play.
Craig Hoffman on Grant and Danny here on 106.7. The Fan, he's our beat reporter. He's at every game, home and away, all season long, traveling with the club. Kirk Cousins was, I thought, really insightful on why their screen game is so good this year on the show yesterday. It sounds to me like he just thinks they're more committed to it Monday through Saturday, and it's made it better on Sunday. Do you buy that?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you this is not insightful reporting, but if you practice something, you are better at it. But it's also a matter of the guys that they have. Like, let's give credit, in addition to what Kirk says, to the guys they have running it. And I don't just mean the Jamison Crowder typically, or obviously Chris Thompson, who are extraordinarily skilled at reading blocks. I know that guys I've talked to say being the screen runner is one of the hardest things in football, because unlike a running play where you have the chance to start your reading of a defense from a standstill position and everything speeds up progressively, you're trying to read a defense at full speed. It's really, really hard to do. But these guys are great at it. Crowder's got an innate ability for it. Thompson's got an innate ability for it. They know where to look. They know how to set up blocks. They understand angles. There's a mental geometry they're performing in real time that is ridiculously impressive. Equally as impressive, though, are these offensive linemen who are so athletic. And I'm going to put a period there. Not athletic for their size. They're athletic, period. And they get out and they hit guys that are even more athletic and trying to dodge them. And they hit at such a high percentage that if you can make one guy miss, like Chris Thompson did to Ray Armstrong, it's a 50-yard gain because there's nobody else to tackle you because they've all been blocked. And I think you watch a lot of screenplays, and I've watched certainly enough of them with this team over the past couple of years, and or whether you watch other screenplays in the league where one offensive lineman misses a block and what could have been a 50-yard gain, it turns into a 3-yard gain or a 3-yard loss because one guy misses and that's all it takes. You have to kind of hit all your blocks, and then your back has to use them properly, or your receiver has to use them properly. And the Redskins have done an incredible job in all of those phases so far, and that's why they've got the best screen game, I would think, yardage-wise in the league by a wide margin.
Craig, this offense, and Craig Hoffman is with us, at Craig Hoffman on Twitter, for Redskins info and to feel bad about your own body because he's in incredible shape. Hoff, this running game, the only game where the Redskins running backs have averaged at least 4 yards per carry is the Rams game. Even in games where they, quote, ran it well, you go back to that Kansas City game, Kirk Cousins had 38 yards. He was their leading ball carrier in that game in terms of rushing yards. Why aren't they consistently successful in their design runs to running backs?
Yeah, it's tough, Danny. So there's a couple of different plays that I've watched so far. I'm about midway through the second quarter of watching the coach's tape right now. And so there's been two plays where they've run toss plays, and a receiver is supposed to be able to crack back on a guy, and the receiver hasn't – like they've made contact, but not in an effective way. And for one of them, Chris Thompson gets knocked down for like a 6 or 7 yard loss. Sometimes it's the receivers. Mac Brown's only carry is one of the plays that I've watched. For a hit on that carry, it's a man blocking scheme up front, and the tight ends don't hit their blocks, but they're also out leveraged. So, you know, Kirk sometimes will come on with you guys and say, I got to get us some better run plays. That's one where I wonder if Kirk, I honestly don't know enough because, like, the numbers match up. And Kirk's looking at a numbers game, but how much does leverage go into his pre-snap decision of which side you're going to run the ball to? I wonder if that's one where he goes, you want to know what? Maybe the numbers were a little bit better on the other or on one side, but we had a better chance of actually using those numbers to our advantage on the other side, and I should have flipped the play or not flipped the play. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into this, and then there are the backs themselves. I haven't seen a lot of Samaje Perine runs yet, but in watching it live, he just does not seem to have urgency getting downhill. I did see one of his best, or actually it was his best carry of the game. He had an 8-yard run. And on that one, he just gets downhill, makes one cut, and the less he has to do, the better he is. So, you know, if he has to dodge a guy in the backfield or he's got to make an extra read or an extra cut, he just does not seem to have the speed and explosiveness or feel comfortable with the speed of the game yet to be able to get the necessary yardage to make a run play effective. And that's not 10 or 12, like that's 4. And so he's getting these 1 and 2 yard gains and you're behind the sticks, your whole offense gets out of whack. And I think that's what the part of the game where I'm about to watch where their offense was kind of stagnant in the middle of the game. So it really is everybody. And I hate to say that because I wish there was a cleaner answer. But I think when Kirk tells that to you guys or Jay says that to us, that they really are telling the truth. On a lot of these plays, it's different things. And it's just a matter of everybody performing their jobs consistently at a higher level if you want to be effective in the run game.
Craig, of the defensive players who have really stepped up their games this year, Ioannidis up front, Fuller on the back end, Preston Smith coming off the edge, who's surprised you most?
Oh, Ioannidis, without a doubt, because it's not just that he's better. I think Matt Ioannidis getting better was almost a given because last year was just not that good. But he's playing at a Pro Bowl or maybe even All-Pro level. That's insane. He was a fifth-round pick who didn't make the opening 53 last year. And in year two, all of a sudden, he's going to be a Pro Bowler? That's the track he's on right now. And obviously, Jonathan Allen playing next to him has been a big part of that. And we'll see how Ioannidis does without Allen over the next couple of weeks. But when it comes to what Ioannidis has done, his ability to push the pocket, that set up some of the sacks that Preston Smith and Ryan Kerrigan have had. He's got sacks on his own. He's played the run well. He's just been so solid week in and week out. And not even solid. He's been great in a lot of these games. I think you could have predicted, because of Preston's talent, that he would get better. I think, like, obviously some of the rookies playing well, like a guy like Monte Nicholson playing well, we probably didn't see. But to see what Matt Ioannidis was and what he has become has been a revelation for this team, and I hope he gets the league-wide recognition he deserves.
Greg, always appreciate it, man. Great work. Keep those Tape Tuesday tweets a-coming, my friend. Great hustle.
Back to the film room. Here we go.
We'll see you, pal.
Craig Hoffman on Grant and Danny, our Redskins beat reporter. Next, the NBA season tips off tonight. We got a game one taking place in Cleveland with the Celtics and the Cavs, and a game two of the doubleheader, Houston and Golden State out west. Warriors against the...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.